So instead of just brewing your coffee, imagine for a moment you're actually delving into this hidden world, a world that influences every single sip you take.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about these, well, invisible architects of flavor. They're thriving right there in the coffee farm soil and, amazingly, on the coffee cherries themselves.
Right.
Today, we're going to take a real deep dive into this microscopic universe. We want to explore the fascinating and really vital connection between these unseen microbial communities and, you know, those exquisite taste notes in your morning brew.
And the research guiding us today is really quite cutting edge. It's a study titled Soil and Cherry Bacterial Communities Predict Flavor on Coffee Farms by Steve Kutos and colleagues, just published in Scientific Reports June 3, 2025.
Very recent.
Yeah, brand new. And their mission was pretty clear.
Hmm?
They wanted to empirically figure out if these plant-associated bacteria are actually playing a direct measurable role in shaping the flavor of coffee arabica, you know, the coffee most of us drink.
Okay, let's unpack that right from the start then. What the researchers found first was, well, it was a pretty striking divide, wasn't it, between the bacterial communities living in the coffee soils and those they found directly on the cherries.
Absolutely striking.
When they looked really closely, at the most specific level, they call them amplicon sequence variants, ASVs, which are basically like individual microbial fingerprints. Get this, there was only a tiny, almost negligible 3% overlap.
Yeah, just 3%. But, and this is what's really fascinating here, despite that incredibly low ASV overlap, these really distinct communities actually shared 40% of their bacterial families.
40%? That sounds like a lot more.
It is. So think of it like this. The specific individuals, the ASVs, living in two different neighborhoods are mostly unique, right?
Okay.
But a surprisingly large portion of their extended families, the bacterial families, are actually the same.
Okay.
It tells us we're definitely looking at two highly distinct microbial neighborhoods, you know, each with its own specializations.
Right, different skill sets, maybe.
Exactly. And just to underline that point, the cherries hosted a far less diverse community. They averaged maybe 180 ASVs compared to the soil's pretty robust 850 ASDs.
Wow, big difference.
Huge difference. It's sort of like one is a highly specialized little boutique shop, and the other is this bustling, incredibly diverse metropolis.
Okay, so if the microbial communities themselves are so distinct, does that actually translate to something we can taste? Because that's the key question, isn't it?
That's the core of it.
And here's where it gets really interesting. The study showed that the overall bacterial community composition, and this is in both the soil and the cherries, it differed significantly. Significantly between farms that produced that specialty coffee, you know, the ones with those desirable brown sugar notes and those farms that didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And crucially, this difference, this differentiation, it was even greater in shade-grown coffee systems.
Yeah, and if we connect this to the bigger picture, I mean, this is a monumental insight. It strongly suggests there's a unique microbial terroir, that whole sense of place and environment influencing the final product.
Right, terroir, but microbial.
Precisely. A microbial terroir specifically linked with these shade-grown, flavor-producing farms. Those farms really stood out. They had the most distinct bacterial communities overall.
Right.
So this isn't just about the coffee plant's genetics anymore. It really highlights the substantial potential of sustainable agroforestry practices like shade growing in actually shaping premium coffee quality. It goes way beyond just thinking about yield.
That's fascinating on the community level. But did they manage to pinpoint any specific microbial players, you know, like bacterial culprits or maybe heroes that directly impact flavor? And was that connection straightforward? Like this bug equals good flavor?
The million-dollar question. Mm. And the answer is, well, it's incredibly nuanced. It's not that simple.
Okay. Not surprising, I guess.
Not at all. They did find specific types of bacteria, specific taxa, like those in the genus Acidothermus, that seems associated with flavor presence, particularly in those valuable shade farms.
Okay, so Acidothermus, good guy.
Well, hang on, because this is crucial. Different individual strains, different ASVs from that very same Acidothermus genus were actually associated with flavor absence in the sun farms.
Oh, so the same family, but different members doing different things.
Exactly. It's like, you know, comparing different breeds of dogs. They're all dogs, part of the same genus Canis, but a border collie behaves very differently from, say, a Chihuahua.
Right.
Right. Okay. Makes sense.
Same genus, potentially very different roles and impacts depending on the specific strain and the environment, the context. We also saw some bacterial families, often known for negative flavor impacts like Acetobacteriaceae and Enterobacteriaceae. They were more abundant in cherries from the non-flavor producing farm.
Okay, that fits.
But then, conversely, Pantoia ASVs and some Pantoia species have previously been linked to defects, like that awful potato taste defect that were surprisingly found correlated with flavor in the sun-grown cherries.
Wow, okay, so it's definitely not black and white.
Not at all. This incredible complexity really implies there's a delicate microbial balance at play. And context like sun versus shade, the specific strain context, just everything.
So this whole deep dive, it really shows us that the secret to that perfect, really nuanced cup of specialty coffee, it might lie far beyond just the bean itself. It's hidden in these intricate, living microbial communities of the soil and the coffee cherry.
Exactly. And understanding these complex, you know, context-dependent relationships is absolutely key if we want to potentially optimize coffee quality in the future, which leaves us with a pretty compelling thought, doesn't it? If we can identify and perhaps even, you know, cultivate or inoculate these specific microbial communities, could we actually engineer more consistent, high-quality coffee production?
Like tailor-made microbes for flavor.
Potentially. Or does that true microbial terroir, that unique environmental signature that makes specialty coffee so special, does it lie inherently in its wild, maybe irreducible complexity? Something to think about.